Today's episode of the Theater People podcast is brought to you by TodayTix. Download the app in Google Play or the App Store and use the code THEATERPEOPLE at checkout to save $20 on your first purchase. That code again is THEATERPEOPLE, which of course is theater with an E-R-P-P-L. Hey Theater People, Patrick here. Two quick things. First, just for the next 2 months or so, we're going back to our bi-weekly format, so you can expect new episodes every other Monday. I promise you there is a really good reason for this, one that is going to blow your mind, and we will be announcing it in the next couple of weeks. Second, I just wanted to take a quick second to recommend the latest podcast from Theater Podcast Productions, which is called Broadway Con The Podcast, which is a partnership between us and the huge Broadway fan convention, Broadway Con. On Broadway Con the podcast, we have conversations with huge Broadway stars and the people who make Broadway magic happen from someplace offstage. It's less about reflecting over careers the way we do on Theater People, and more about having conversations about the business, what sparked their desire to pursue their Broadway dreams, what it means to be a part of the Broadway community, and the politics of casting, creating, and producing for the theater. We release new episodes every Wednesday. This week's episode features conversations with Tony-winning actress Lena Hall and Tony-winning composer Janine Tesori. You can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or any place else that podcasts live. You can also stream episodes at broadwaycon.com/podcast. Episodes are produced and hosted by me, and I promise you're going to love them. So check it out. Okay, now to the show. Welcome to the Theater People Podcast. I'm Patrick Hines, your host.
I've always longed for adventure, to do the things I've never dared. Now here I'm facing adventure. Never why am I so scared?
Today's guest, you guys, the legendary Rebecca Luker, is someone we've wanted to have on the podcast for a very long time now. She was most recently seen on Broadway as Helen, the mom, in Fun Home, and I'm still kicking myself for not getting there to see it. She made her Broadway debut in the original company of The Phantom of the Opera on Broadway. She was a Christine understudy before taking over the role full-time. To name just a few other career highlights, she was Lily in The Secret Garden, Magnolia in Showboat, Maria in the 1999 The Sound of Music, Marion in The Music Man, and on and on and on. Over the course of her career, she's racked up 3 Tony nominations and a reputation for being one of the kindest people in the business. She also has a little bit of a foul mouth on her, as we discovered over the course of this interview. I loved her so much. I just wanted to marry her. Okay, here's our conversation.
I have confidence in me. Somehow I will impress them. I will be firm but kind.
Hi, Rebecca Luker. Hi. I can't believe you're here.
Hi, Patrick.
I have been wanting to have you on the podcast like forever. I was thinking today, it's been a while since we've had a bona fide Broadway legend on the podcast.
Oh my God. Okay.
So welcome.
You're very sweet to say that. Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh my God, it's so nice to be. I just can't believe you're here in the flesh.
Well, my husband Danny Burstein said he had a great time with you.
And I'm so glad.
And you came to his dressing room.
We did.
You were so sweet.
He was kind of like, what's happening? I'm like, we're just doing a podcast. He's like, is it live? I was like, no, we record it. We do it later. He's amazing.
Edit it. He's so sweet.
Oh my God. The sweetest. Mike has a good friend who's in the show with him now.
You do? Who?
He's a
sweetheart.
Yeah. Do you know Ben?
Yeah. The whole company is so great.
Yeah.
They're
Oh, right. You just like had everybody to your house.
Well, a lot of them.
Yeah.
A lot of them were there.
Oh my God.
Ben was there.
Yeah. Can we start with talking about Fun Home?
Let's talk about Fun Home.
Oh my God.
Just as it's about to close.
I know. I'm obsessed with Fun Home.
I know. It's a great show.
How did we all get so lucky that you went into it?
You're so sweet. Did you see it?
I didn't. Okay. Well, I've seen it a bunch of times. I didn't see it with you.
I know. Yeah. If you blinked, you missed me.
How long were you there?
I was only in it for 7 weeks.
Okay.
So it was a very quick thing while Judy recuperated from surgery. But how did it happen? Well, they just called me in for it, you know, because I'm a certain age, a certain voice, a certain whatever. And I just went in and read for Sam Gold and sang for them. And I worked really hard. I love the show.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh, okay. I like to replace if it's a wonderful show and a wonderful role and a different kind of role for me. So I auditioned and lucked out and got it. And it was one of the best jobs I've ever had.
I'm wondering, when somebody at your level replaces, do you get more access to the creative team than somebody who isn't Rebecca Luker might get?
Oh, well, that's kind of you to say. You know, I don't know. I don't think so. I would hope not. You know,
right,
whoever
right.
replaces it is just as important, you know, as anybody. But, you know, whether you're slightly well known or not. But I did get full access to Sam. Well, you know, I got a couple of rehearsals with him.
You moved in with him.
Actually, yeah, that's right. Actually, I didn't have a lot of rehearsal at all, about 2 weeks.
Wow.
In all, it was, I guess if you counted up all the actual days, I had even less than that.
Wow.
So it was I had to learn a lot of it on my own before I showed up to the first rehearsal. I learned it. I memorized the show, and Sam worked with me, and his wonderful assistant, whose name just flew out of my head, worked with me a lot. And the cast could not have been more welcoming, and they were, you know, I was really a different mother than Judy, and everyone was lovely and open to it. And yeah, it was a really wonderful experience.
Janine's music is so intricate.
Yeah.
How do you,
right.
I mean, so gorgeous and so like, I can't imagine that story being told another way, but
I know.
How did you manage to like find your way into that music? I mean, like, how do you even memorize that music?
I didn't have much trouble. I mean, it's what I love about Janine's music also is that it's challenging, which I love. That's why I love Sondheim so much. It's challenging to sing, but it made such musical sense to me as well that I just really took to it. But I did spend a lot of time on it. And one of my favorite parts of the show was that I had to mime the piano.
Right.
And I love that. You know, I took
you
piano.
You have a piano.
I have a piano. I took piano as a kid, but I never played classical music at all. So at first I thought it was going to be impossible. I thought, my fingers can't do this. And I worked on it and worked on it. And I'd say probably the last couple of weeks of the show, I was just having such a great time. And I actually had friends who play who said, "You look like you're playing." And, you know, and I really tried to get the actual fingerings, and it was, you know, I mean, but her music, yeah, back to her music.
Yeah.
She worked with me all of us. We had sort of a brush up. I entered the show about its year anniversary time. So we had a big year brush up. And I was the lucky recipient of that rehearsal. And she really opened up a lot about my big solo at the end that I hadn't thought about. And I, you know, had a new way to do that. And she's so smart. And yeah. The music just kills me in that show. Even the fun numbers.
Yeah.
You know, I just love every note of it, really.
I had the most like amazing good fortune to interview Alison Bechdel last week.
Oh, isn't she lovely?
Oh my God. She's and I got to ask spirit. Her about her mom. And I was just thinking about like, I was wondering what it's like to like live inside that material 8 shows a week. Is it dark? How is that?
It's an interesting show because it's that sort of dark comedy thing too. But it's what's great about it is that you can be laughing out loud and then you can just be devastated. So it was a great experience every night. I mean, I started the show I tried to play Helen as someone who didn't foresee tragedy. You know, I was just trying to be a good mother. And you saw the cracks in the relationship, obviously, in
yeah.
the beginning between the husband, and you saw that he had a thing for men, and, you know, you saw all that. But I tried to make her somebody who still had hope, who somebody you could look at and say, oh, she used to be in love with her husband, and maybe there's still a little love there between them. That's what makes it so tragic. And then when it starts really unraveling, it is devastating. It was dark. But I loved it. I mean, I haven't done a role like that in just ever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I really poured myself into it.
We were asking Danny when he did the show if he was going to get to see it. And he told me this, like, this revelatory thing about how it's, like, in his contract that he doesn't get a day off. So he was like, I don't know if I'm going to get to see it. But he did, right? He came to your put-in?
He did. He saw the put-in.
How was that?
And he didn't see the whole show because Michael Servais didn't do his big number. And, you know, the orchestra wasn't there. But he was a puddle at the end of it. He just was devastated by it.
Yeah.
He loved it.
Yeah.
He's very sweet.
Oh, I am so sad that I missed you in that show.
Oh,
I can't. I mean,
such fun.
And it's closing like this weekend.
Saturday night, I'm going to go to the last show go to the party. And there's a lot. I just fell in love with everyone from the ushers to the stagehands.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm literally going to leave my husband for Beth Malone. Like, I'm in love with her.
Isn't she? I roomed with her.
You guys shared a dressing room?
She is the bomb.
She is a magical human being.
And if I was a lesbian.
Oh my God. Me too. I'm sort of sad that I'm not. You know what I mean? Is it too late, you guys? Are we done with that?
I don't think so.
No, yeah.
Never too late.
Exactly.
No, she's adorable and such a good actress. And she's been doing it, you know, since way back when.
I know. She's like, I think the one that's been with it the longest.
She, maybe her and Judy, except for that 7-week absence.
Right.
And then I think Judy and maybe one other, Roberta.
Uh-huh.
Calandres, who's also so wonderful. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Love that Beth Malone.
Yeah.
She's a good egg too.
Can we go back?
Let's go back.
So I wanted to talk about how you got to New York in the first place. What was your training before you came here?
Well, I was born in Birmingham, Alabama, mm-hmm. and I went to a small state university below Birmingham called Montevallo. I got a music degree. You know, while I was there, I studied some theater and I did all the musicals and had a wonderful voice teacher named Benny Middaw. And he really kind of just stayed out of my way and let my voice develop the way it wanted to. He didn't try to hurt it or make it do anything it didn't want to do. And I just, I got some really good training there and did some community theater in Birmingham. And through community theater, I met some professional people who I eventually was able to work with in like Michigan Opera Theater.
Oh, right.
And, you know,
right.
I would and so I was an intern there for a couple of seasons. And my second season there, I actually met my agent to be because I was doing Sweeney Todd with Judy Kay, and her agent, Brett Adams, came to see us.
Oh, wow.
And this is really some Reader's Digest version. Anyway, but he saw me do Joanna, and he asked me sweetly if I came to New York, he said he would sign me, and I was just greener than, you know.
Wow.
What
year was that? Do you remember?
1984.
And did you come right to New York?
And I went back to Alabama, graduated from college, had one more semester or whatever, graduated, and then the following February, I moved here.
Wow.
And I had an agent already, and I thought that's how it happened for everybody. Oh, everybody meets their agent out of town.
Right, exactly.
Nope. Okay. So I was very lucky, because I don't know what I would have done without him. I knew nothing about anything. And even though I say I had some good training, the difference between how young people are trained these days is just
right
amazingly different.
Yeah.
I never talked to a professional who had actually worked in the business. I didn't know anything about it. So I had this agent. He sent me on these auditions. I was horrible at most of them. I didn't know what I was doing. And then the ones I got, I was just lucky because I could sing and, you know, maybe looked a certain way. And I was just really lucky. And then I just learned on the job, you know?
Yeah.
I really learned the hard way.
Yeah, because your first big gig was Phantom of the Opera.
It was Phantom, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you were cast as the understudy for Christine, is that right?
I was, yeah. Mm-hmm. Understudy for Sarah Brightman and Patty Cohenour, I suppose, you know, who was the alternate Christine at the time. And yeah, before that, I had done concerts in the city and some summer stock and not a whole lot. And then I went in to sing. I had just left college, basically, so I knew all these arias.
Right.
So I sang an aria for Hal Prince, and it was really fun.
Wow. And how far into the run of Phantom was that?
Oh, I was in the original company.
You were in the original company of Phantom?
Original Broadway company, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so January 88, we opened, yeah.
And you were with them for 3 years?
I did it for 3 years. I did 1 year as in the chorus and 2 as Christine.
Right. Yeah. And I was reading you were talking about a bit about how hard it was to understudy. Was it hard because like the job of being an understudy is hard, or hard because you wanted to be doing the role?
It was hard because I wanted to be doing the role. I have to admit it's been my only understudy job, and it was a good place to start out. I call it Phantom Camp.
Yeah. You
know? but I just made the decision early on that I wouldn't understudy anymore, and it paid off for me. I got lucky. But it was really hard. My ego had to get out of the way, and I had to just work hard and,
yeah,
you know, realize that I didn't know everything. I wasn't a ballerina. I taught myself to dance on point, stupidly.
Taught yourself how to do that?
Yeah. I even borrowed someone else's point shoes that weren't even right for my feet. So I'm like, can I, you know, I found a ballerina that had size 8 feet, you know, and I'm like, can I use your old point shoes? You know, they're constantly changing their point shoes. So I taught myself, and I had blisters, horrible.
Oh, my God.
My feet. It was just really, but I worked really hard because I realized I had a lot to learn, and I worked my way up.
Yeah. You know, how was it to take over that role full time?
So fun.
Yeah.
You know, but of course, I only did 6 shows a week because Sarah Brightman started this tradition of only doing, in fact, at one point, I think I was only doing 5 a week. She did 5 a week or something, and Patty did 3.
Oh, my goodness.
And then I think at some point it changed to 6 and 2. I'm not really sure, but But Chris Gronendahl, who is mostly my phantom from most of my run, used to be so mad at me. So you are just such a... And I went, you know what? You can't talk to me because you're on stage for like 15 minutes. And I, you know, even with just my six shows, I'm on, you know, I work a lot harder than you. But I didn't have to wear that crap on my, oh God, we laughed so much. But anyway, so I only did 5 or 6 shows a week. And I started off as the alternate. I did the alternate for 4 months. And that was really crazy.
Alternate meaning?
I only did like 3 shows a week for 4 months. Oh. I was the alternate. And then when Patty left, I moved up to the main gal. So it was so fun. My first performance was when I was still in the chorus, and I went on with Michael Crawford just before he left. They just wanted to see if I could do the role, so they gave me a show very sweetly, and I did good.
Yeah. I mean, it, I had is to. It like a head.
It's my only chance.
Yeah. Does it like mess with you that show is still running? Like your very first Broadway show is still running?
Isn't that crazy?
Do you ever like walk by and you're like, it's like how yes. I'm like, I used to work at that restaurant. It's still open. That's weird.
It's a time warp, you know?
Yeah.
I walk by and go, how is this possible? And some of those people stayed in it for like 20 years.
Yeah.
You know?
There was that guy that was in it like until just a few years ago.
Yeah. George Lee Andrews, right?
Yeah.
He's a good friend of mine.
So you left the show to do The Secret Garden.
I left to do Secret Garden.
Okay, so
Thank
I have
God.
Permission from Daisy Egan to ask you anything I want to know. Daisy is like a very good friend of mine.
I love Daisy.
Isn't she the best?
Yes.
But I wanted to start, before we get to like the sad stuff, I wanted to talk about, I recently interviewed Lucy Simon.
Oh,
and she was
adorable.
Talking about, do you remember your audition for that?
Yes.
Can you tell your side of it? Because Lucy told her side of seeing you do it.
She did?
Yeah.
Well, I had been working on the music and, you know, I'd heard about The Secret Garden, and I heard that Patty actually did the role in the workshop and in a very early production of it. I went, well, why isn't Patty doing it? That's so weird. But for some reason, she didn't. I think she turned it down for some reason. Thank God. But I'd been working on the music, and I loved it so much. And I couldn't get through How Could I Know without bawling.
How? I mean, I was going to listen to it today, and I was like, nope, I can't. I can't listen to that song.
So it's such a beautiful score, and I just did it, you know, not too long ago.
Oh, right, of course, you did the benefit,
the Make-A-Wish Foundation. But so great experience. Anyway, and the same thing happened in the audition. I went in and I couldn't get through the song, and I just said to them, I'm sorry, I just can't. I am not at the place yet where I can do this without crying. And they were so sweet and went, we understand completely, you know. And it was just, I don't know how to say this. I don't want to sound egotistical, but I think it was a perfect marriage of voice and role for me. And I just feel like it was meant to be.
Yeah.
Meant to be something that in my life. And it was just a huge blessing in my life, that show.
How can I say to go on without me? How, when I know you still need me so? How can I say not to dream about me? How could I ever know? How could I ever know? Forgive me, can you forgive me? And hold me in your heart. And find some new way to love me. Now that we're...
Hey, theater people. So the fall season is in full swing. I just saw Cats the other night, you guys. Cats! I'm literally scrolling through the TodayTix app as I read this. I have said that before and not been completely honest, but I'm actually doing it now. Okay. Okay, there is a show on here that a year ago you literally could not get a ticket to that is now going for $39 on the app. So if you download the app in Google Play or the App Store and then use the code THEATERPEOPLE at checkout, that code, as you know, is theater with an E-R-P-P-L, to save $20 on your first purchase, you'd be seeing this show for $19. That is literally insane. How many of you hate it when I use the word literally like that? Okay, hang on. Now I'm going to look at Chicago. Okay, this I can't even handle. There are tickets to shows for $13, $20, $21. Good God. Okay, let's try San Francisco Bay Area. $15, $8, $18. Okay, you get the point. There is no cheaper way to see theater than by using TodayTix. So, download the app, select your city, pick your show, use the code THEATERPEOPLE, theater with an E-R-P-P-L, save tons of cash, see all the theater. I love you, theater people. Okay, now back to the show. It's interesting because, you know, Lisa and Janine just won the Tony Award for being, like, they were the first female composing team or whatever. I was talking to Lucy about, like, you got to work with, you've gotten to work with all these great women in your career. And that the creative team of that, like, Susan Shulman and Heidi Ettinger is what her last name is now. And Marsha Norman. And, you know, how was it to work with that incredible, mostly female creative team?
It was a wonderful experience. They, you know, they were, there's a misconception about women. I think women directors and women choreographers, and, you know, they're pretty steely. And I'd say more than men.
Yeah.
They really are. They're like very strong individuals. But even with that, there was still this sort of nurturing feeling around the whole process. You know, they'd bring in, somebody would bring in plants every day because we were, you know, so you're right. Put them on the windowsill, and, you know, it was amazing. I loved it. I felt very comfortable around all of them, and we all loved each other, and we knew we had a beautiful show, and it was just a great, you know, we got bashed a lot by the critics, which really I never understood.
But then it ran.
To this day, I don't understand why we didn't win Best Score.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you about Daisy Egan.
Do you
remember, like, the first time you ever saw Daisy Egan? Or, like, just, like, your memories of, like, the early days of... I know her so well now. I just cannot imagine what she was like at 11 years old.
I know. I remember... I think the first time I met her was when we hadn't started rehearsing yet, but we had to do sort of money, you know, this fundraising thing. So me and Mandy and Daisy and somebody else, maybe Allison or John Cameron Mitchell, we all showed up to this thing. And I think I met her there at this crazy thing we had to sing at. And she was precocious and adorable and sweet. I always loved Daisy. She's a great kid, but very single-minded and always spoke her mind, but she was kind. You know, she's just a great young lady.
Yeah.
Perfect for that role.
I'm doing, like, another thing about Daisy. So do you mind if I ask you, like,
please,
a couple more questions?
Please.
Because, you know, like, Daisy is fine to talk about it, but, you know, she went through, like, a hard time during that time.
Of course,
and I'm always curious because I know it from, like, her perspective, but, like, to hear about the adult perspective of what you guys were going through, knowing what she was going through, do you feel comfortable talking about that?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. It was an incredibly sad time. I mean, you know, I knew her mother. She's a lovely woman. But just to know that this 11-year-old girl is losing her mother to cancer, I mean, it was just unbearable, really, to think about. And then we had to do this show with her every night. And,
I know.
It was a sad time. But she has a wonderful family. Mm-hmm. She got through it somehow.
I always think about, like, you know, I was thinking, like, for you to have to sing that song every night, knowing that she's going through that. And I was thinking about Allison singing Hold On to her every night.
Forget it.
Yeah. Just crazy.
I don't know how Allison did that.
I know.
I really don't know.
Did you stay with the show the whole time?
I did.
You did? You closed it at the end?
Yeah.
And then, so the next thing I wanted to talk about was The Sound of Music.
My hills are alive with the sound of music, with songs they have sung. Wants to sing every song it hears.
Yeah,
I know you've done, like, this, like, all of these, like, amazing roles, but The Sound of Music. How did that come to you?
Well, like everything else, you know, you just get, you know, you get submitted and, or the casting director wants to see you. By this point I had sort of a reputation. Yeah. And so I was right for it. And I had just done something with Susan Schulman at, Encores, you know, leading up to that. And so I knew her very well. And, from, you know, Secret Garden, obviously. And so, I just got called and I just auditioned. I mean, like everybody else, you know.
That's so interesting.
And, yeah, I don't know how close I came to not getting the role, but, you know, I'm sure they were seeing lots of people and I had to convince them, you know, nothing, Broadway roles that have come to me have always been hard won.
Yeah?
Pretty much. Except for Fun Home. That was pretty. Oh, and Cinderella, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So, certain
yeah.
things that you replace in mm-hmm. sometimes. But no, I mean, Music Man especially.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking because one of our favorite people that we have on the show all the time is Laura Benanti.
Yeah.
And she talks about how mentoring you were to her and like her mm. experience working with you on that show. You know, it was her first job.
Yeah, she was like 18 or something. Yeah. Crazy.
Do you have any memories of like work? Like, did you feel like you were a mentor to her?
Yeah. I mean, she was my understudy and yeah, she was lovely. And I knew I could see how talented she was, you know, and I thought, oh yeah, she's going to really be something and she is something, you yeah. know? So, yeah, it was wonderful to work with Laura. She was a real, you know, one of these unusual, you know, beautiful, smart, talented, funny, women. You
yeah.
know, that there are not a lot of them.
Yeah.
You know? So, and she still is amazing.
Yeah.
Right?
That's
she's,
so funny.
She's doing good.
She's doing great.
I know.
I was thinking too that like at this point you've done so many of like the major roles that people like now like would be dying to do, like Showboat and
right.
Now of course I'm forgetting your resume.
That's all right.
Oh, and The Music Man.
You bought notes. Yes.
And Sound of Music. I mean, like when you get to that point in your career, do you feel like, yeah, this is right. This is the stuff that I should be doing.
Yes. I mean, I feel sort of two minds about it. I'm so grateful to have had all those opportunities. And I tell young actors all the time, you know, don't put yourself into a box and, you know, try to, you know, branch out and do. And if I could go back, I probably would have tried to do different things, you know, other than those leading lady things. But, you know, in and of themselves, those roles are very difficult, you know. I think they're some of the hardest things to do in the world, those leading yeah. lady things. And so while I'm so grateful and happy and I'm proud of my body of work, yeah, you know, I wish I had branched out a little bit more. That's what I'm trying to do now, that I'm out of that sort of leading lady ingenue area and going into more interesting character areas, you know, which
what
is so fun.
What would you have done like then? If you could go back and do any of the stuff that was happening then, what would you have done?
I think I would have probably studied more acting. I would have tried to do more plays. I would have, you know, just studied more and tried to, you know, really delve into the acting more and maybe more comedy and,
yeah.
you know, maybe played a bitch or something. You know? Can I say that on
it's
the
so
air?
It's so weird to hear you say that word.
Oh, please. You have no idea. Talk to my husband. My wife is a sailor mouth.
Right. I love that.
Oh, God.
I won't
say that on the air. I won't say anything worse on the air.
Oh, but you're welcome to. And then we'll just play it on a loop just over and over and over again. You guys can do
if we start talking about politics, I will curse.
Oh, my God.
I will
we
curse.
Can do that. We can just take a sharp left turn
all
and
right.
talk about that anytime.
Maybe we will.
But I was thinking, because you were talking about doing more acting stuff, and I was not surprised isn't the right word, but I was interested to learn that when you did Mary Poppins, you felt that that was like one of the greatest acting challenges of your career.
Did I say that?
Yeah, you were it was some interview that I was reading that you were just saying that like I think it had to do with the fact that like you kind of had to invent that character. The really interesting thing I read was that you were saying that the woman, of course now I can't think of her name, who wrote the books Mary Poppins, did not
right.
have a good relationship with her parents. And so those roles aren't really defined in the books.
Yeah,
and
that's
so
true.
And so you kind of had to like create that.
That's true, yeah. Richard Eyre was a big help, but even so I think all of us kind of did have to. And it was kind of a, you know, not a huge acting, not, you know, lengthwise, it wasn't a huge part. But yeah, I guess it was, looking back. Well,
yeah.
It's 10 years ago now. Wow.
I know.
That show opened. It was. You get very few opportunities in most musicals anyway to make a character, to flesh a character out at all. That's why I love musical theater for that reason too, for that challenge of it.
Yeah.
You know, having to just make the character very deep, even though you have very little time.
I was thinking about that. I was thinking it, like, in general, when I was reading about you and Mary Poppins, like, you've worked with so many kids in your career.
Yeah.
You know, like, going from Daisy to the Sound of Music to the kids in
Music Man, yeah.
How, and we were talking a little bit about how, like, the kids today are, you know, so different than, like, kids, you know, in the business, I mean. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about, like, do you enjoy working with children? And, like, is it, you know, like, should kids be professional actors at that age?
And what a question.
I know. It's so crazy.
I do love working with kids. I mean, if the kids are great, if they're nice. If they're nice. I like where there was this little boy in the Secret Garden. I forget his name. I shouldn't be talking about this. He had red hair. We used to call him Chucky. And he set a fire in his dressing room one day. I think that's what garnered in the name Chucky. Oh yeah, God. Chucky's on tonight. You know, he was on. Oh God. So, you know, so much those kids.
Yeah.
But I loved the kids in Fun Home. They're unbelievably great people on top of the fact that they were all talented and fantastic. As for whether or not kids should be in show business, I have to say that if I had a young kid, I would not want them to do Broadway.
Yeah.
It's a hard life for them. They have tutors. They never get enough sleep.
Yeah.
They don't take vacation, you know, 1 week a year or something. I mean, it's just, they go to school and they work. It's really hard on a young kid. So I don't know. We need them. And yet, you know, maybe some of them are happy doing it. I don't know. Sometimes I think some of them are doing it for their parents, you know.
Yeah.
It's tough. Depends on the show and the kid and everything.
It's so funny because, you know, we have a two-year-old that, like, I just know because she's, like, raised around all of this.
Of course she's going to want it.
I know. And I'm like, talk to Aunt Daisy. It's not all what it's cracked up to be.
That's a great idea.
Exactly.
Talk to Aunt Daisy.
I wanted to ask, I'm sorry, what was the show that you did that was the ballet show?
Oh, Little Dancer.
Little Dancer.
Yeah. No, the Little Dancer, yeah.
And is that going to have more of a life?
Well, we're about to do a lab of it in October. With Stroman and everybody, and it'll be like a 3-week lab, and I think it has a future. Absolutely. Who knows when it will be on Broadway? It could be 2018. It could be, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that it keeps going. It's a beautiful show.
Yeah.
Gorgeous, gorgeous show.
What else do you have going on?
You know, I've been like turning down more stuff than I've said yes to lately.
Really?
You know, like concert stuff is coming up, and you know, I've auditioned for some things. It's kind of a slow time right now. I'm not really, you know, I wish I had more to tell you.
Yeah.
About.
Do you teach?
I don't. I have coached before,
yeah.
You know, and I might teach voice one day. I'm not, you know, I'm not sure I'm cut out for it. You know, it's a huge responsibility. And I know how I do it, but I don't particularly know how to tell someone else how to do it.
Uh-huh.
But maybe one day I would like to. But I do enjoy coaching, and I love speaking to groups of young performers and answering all their questions about the business. I love that.
Yeah.
And I love doing master classes. I love that too.
Yeah. Will you and Danny go on a big vacation once his show closes?
Probably. I hope so. We just took the last 10 days of August off, and he needed, like, you know, 20 more.
But how's he doing?
He's tired.
Yeah.
You know, he's a tired Tevye.
Yeah.
I know.
He's so great.
He's
I'm
doing
so
good,
happy
though.
That he is doing that show.
And, me too. I can't imagine anyone else really doing it.
I
think he's the best.
Yeah.
And I'm his wife, obviously. But but he, you know, it's really hard. It's a grueling 8 a week. Does all 8. And never gets enough rest. Never gets enough sleep.
Oh, Rebecca Luca, you're a dream.
Patrick!
What, should we talk politics for 2 minutes?
Oh, my God.
Tell me.
Can we do it more than 2 minutes?
Yeah. What do you think about what's going on in the world?
I'm horrified
and
scared to death, and I wish the election was tomorrow.
I know.
Because
are you a Hillary person?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I didn't what?
Know if maybe, if, well, I'm like, maybe you're a third party person.
Is
I don't know.
Is the sky blue?
I know. It's crazy.
I think to vote for a third party person is sort of horrifying.
I know.
You know, did you hear that that what's his face didn't know what Aleppo was?
We were literally just watching a video about that like 2 minutes ago.
What's his name? I can't even think of his name.
Gary Johnson.
Gary Johnson.
Yeah.
I mean, what?
I know.
I mean, you know, even if he didn't know where Aleppo was. Until that little boy in the ambulance, that little picture of that little boy was circulated all over the place. I went, this is impossible. And I thought, has he been smoking too much marijuana?
And this is like a viable, he's getting like 10% of the vote in some of the polls.
I think that's going to go down.
Yeah.
You know, but then it begs the question, how are all of the things that Donald Trump has said and done not made his poll numbers plummet?
You know, I was listening to a podcast about this the other day, and they were saying that, like, he has so much room to say whatever he wants because it's what we expect of him.
Right.
Like, he can say anything crazy because we're just like, oh, that's just Donald Trump just being Donald Trump being crazy. But, like, the scrutiny on Hillary is so
– yeah.
She can't say anything
no.
crazy. Or she can't say anything – you know what I mean? Like, she has to, like, stay the course. I don't know. You know, like –
absolutely.
The 538 blog that I follow on the New York Times
yeah.
and, like, Nate Silver, who is, like, a
too.
Genius – we're going to be okay, I think.
It's I think so, too. I look at the electoral map, and I'm
yeah.
encouraged
yeah.
If we all vote, you know, right. all the swing state people and everybody votes. But, yeah, she has a tough road because she's a woman. If she smiles too much and acts all, you know, feminine, then she's weak.
Right.
And if she doesn't, she's like, I'll say it again, a bitch.
Yeah.
And she can't win.
You know what I have
and
to
I'm
say?
And I'm so sick of it.
She has a podcast now. There's a podcast.
And a Hillary podcast?
Yeah. It's called I'm With Her, and I encourage everyone to listen to it because it so humanizes Hillary. Like, it's like they're like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It's like they're kind of fun, and she's just like – she's
fantastic.
So – yeah. I think she's so interesting and –
I love her. I've read a lot of articles about, you know, nonpartisan articles that actually show that she's one of our most honest politicians.
Right. Yeah.
That it's a complete – double standard and a complete lie that
right.
she's untrustworthy. And
it's
completely
hogwash.
Wrong.
Like,
such hogwash.
The whole thing about how her, she is something like this, like, so Donald Trump is the least popular candidate to ever run for office. Hillary Clinton is the second least popular
which
candidate
is, I
to
can't,
ever run for
I
office.
Can't wrap my head around it.
That she's so far ahead in the polls with her unfavorables or her favorables so low. It's all, you know, steeped in misogyny.
Well, it totally is. But another thing I read from these articles is that when she's vying for a job, she does poorly. Like when she was running for New York Senate,
right.
People were going, oh, a woman is trying to grab power.
Yeah.
And so, ooh, we're, you know, we don't know if we trust her. That's weird.
Yeah.
But once she gets the job, she does an excellent job of it.
And the Republicans are like, she was saying in right. her podcast that, like,
yeah.
when I have the job, everyone's great. The Republicans are nice to me. I'm nice to them. We're all good. But as soon as I'm like running for a job,
yeah,
everyone,
weird.
Yeah,
right?
I know.
It's like a woman's not allowed to do that. I can't
I
take it. So I'm hoping that we all learn a little bit something about sexism and through this whole experience. And I really want her to beat him so badly.
I know.
That he can't
and
walk.
Down ballot voting is very important to you guys.
Very
you
important.
Know, we need to get this country back.
Yeah, give money to your senators and representatives. And
yeah
it would be amazing if we took the House.
We were at the park at Madison Square Park like a month ago. And we were just like playing with our daughter.
Yeah.
And we were like hanging out with this other mom and dad. Like they were playing with their kid. And their kid didn't want to share with our kid.
Uh-oh.
And they were really apologetic about it.
Were they Republicans? I'm
it
kidding.
Was Chelsea Clinton. It wasn't until she walked away that I was Republicans. Totally. It wasn't until they walked away that my friend was like, you know that that's Chelsea Clinton, right?
No.
And I was like, oh my God, I didn't
And her
know.
Kid didn't want to play with your kid.
Well, she didn't want to share her ball. Charlotte was not into sharing her
did
ball
with
Did
they have Daisy. A talk with her?
They did, in fact. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
If she's going to be a little a Democrat when she grows up.
Exactly. It's all about sharing.
To learn to share.
Rebecca Luker, can we just have a political podcast, me
go,
and you?
Go Hillary. Everyone, please vote for Hillary Clinton.
Exactly.
And make phone calls and knock on doors, please.
Yeah,
it's very totally. Important. It's our world is, you know, it's at stake.
Will you come back and see us again?
I will. I love you.
I love you too.
Thanks, Patrick.
Maybe someday we can do a DNA together.
That would be great.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yes.
Okay, amazing. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Theater People is a product of Theater Podcast Productions. We also produce BroadwayCon the Podcast, which you should totally check out. Theater People episodes are produced by Mike Jensen and me, Patrick Hines. Mike edited this episode. Special thanks to our sponsor today, Tix. Download the app in Google Play or the App Store and use the code Theater People at checkout to save $20 on your first purchase. That code, of course, is Theater People. Theater with an ERPPL. Special thanks also to Steve Tipton, Bradley Behan, Ellen Marsh, and the staff at Oswald's. We'll be back in 2 weeks with Lindsay Mendez from our live summer series show from back in July. Until then, review us on iTunes and tell your friends about us. Let's get the theater community talking.
I love the old-fashioned things. The sound of rain upon a window pane. The starry song...